Last week, we were launched into the theme of stewards of God's resources, into our year of stewardship. And this is our first Sunday of it. Now, this month, we're going to be thinking about worship. And I want, in the address this morning, to lay out a few parameters, a few thoughts that might help focus you on this theme of worship as together, as God's people in this place, we think about what it means to worship. It's also the day when we really launch our Christian Aid Week program. We couldn't really do it next week when it starts because next week is the fun run. And there won't be a service here in the morning because we thought it wasn't good for us to be tucked away in church when the whole community's out there trying to raise funds for charities around our community. So we made a decision years ago that we'd be a part of that and we'd have our service in the afternoon. And it's going to be a special service because we're going to be joined by Castle Camps and Little Abington. It's going to be a three churches worship service. So we're kicking off Christian Aid this morning, and it's a very appropriate time to kick off Christian Aid because it's about worship and the two things, as I hope will be very clear by the time we've got to the end of the service, are very closely tied together. I want to take you back a long way before St. Paul, right back to the beginning. Because the scriptures begin with an ancient liturgy. And in that liturgy, God creates the heavens and the earth. And then at the completion of this extraordinary and beautiful thing, he puts men and women on earth to have responsibility and authority over it. But have you ever noticed that that responsibility and authority rests on a very profound foundation? I'll read it to you. And then God says, right at the very end of this story of creation, this liturgy of creation, and then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them and blessed them. Men and women are created in the image of God. You and me are created in the image of God. Now, writing that might have seemed like some incredible delusional self-aggrandizement on the part of the person who wrote it, or the people who wrote it and put it together. Or you could see it as a piece of prophetic insight and tremendous determination to take responsibility for what it is that God has given us as our role. In one of his latest books, the English biblical scholar Tom Wright argues that only those who are worshipping the Creator will be humble enough to be entrusted with God's stewardship. When I first owned my following to follow Jesus Christ about 50 years ago now, I thought worship was coming to church on Sundays. It was only years later that I realised that going to church on Sundays was the means by which I could become enabled to worship God in my living, to refocus myself again and again into the image of God that I was meant to be, so that my worship, which happens all the time, could be real. And this is the place where I'm reminded week by week that I'm made in the image of God and what that image means, so that I can live out worship. And here on Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoons or in meeting together during the week, week by week, I get reminded what the shape of that image is as I dwell on God and on Christ, who's the true image of God, and I open my heart and my mind and my will for that image to progressively grow in me as I do it again and again and again and again. Now, isn't it true for all of us that that needs constant attention? The moment we let it slide, the image gets distorted. I know it does in me. I'm pretty sure you know it too. I don't mean about me, but I mean about yourselves. And the Bible is the story of people who time and time and time again forgot who it was they were made in the image of, and they turned to worship parts of the creation instead of the Creator. And they lost the image of God. It got distorted, and everything around them got distorted in the process. The Bible calls it idolatry, but a word like that can obscure what's happened. Idolatry, as Paul says, is when we start to worship the creation rather than the Creator, and the image gets twisted. And we see that distortion all around us all the time. Now, God sent his Son to us to live, to die, to be raised for us, the very image of God. And St. John writes, to all who receive him, he gives power to become the children of God, like him again, sons and daughters, recreated in his image, resurrected in his image, restored to his image. And we give our hearts and our minds and our lives to him wholeheartedly so that that can happen, so that that restoration of that image can be taking place day by day, so that we can be reminded what it is we worship, what it is that we're shaped in the image of, day by day, all the way along, drawing us back again and again and again, so that distortion that happens so easily can be set right. We just prayed it a few minutes ago. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right where my feet touch the earth. It's the prayer Jesus gave us. And John wrote, didn't he? God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved, or healed, if you like. And our worship, our focus on God here of a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, or meeting up in groups to think about it during the week and pull ourselves back into the image of Christ again, or the image of God that we're made again, is God's work in action to save the world. You're not bricklayers making a wall. You're the creators of the temple. Can you put your theological caps on for a moment? Do you remember once when Jesus said to the people who were lining up to work out just how they were going to kill him? And he said to them, "You destroy this temple and in 3 days I'm going to rebuild it." Remember that piece? And they all laughed at him. Said, it took decades to build this. You're going to tear it down and rebuild it. And it's there in the Gospels, but Jesus was actually talking about himself. You ever wondered what that was really about? Understand what the temple meant to first century Jewish people, the time when the Gospels were written, the people to whom Jesus was speaking. The temple was that place where earth and heaven intersected. The priest went into the Holy of Holies and he brought to God the concerns of the people. And in that place, this is the place where God is there in the midst of the people, and the priest is to represent God to the people. It's the meeting place between the two, where God and the world intersected. Jesus is that place where God and the world come together. And his call to be disciples, to you and to me is to be joint heirs with him in that great commission, the means of the divine intersection made possible because Christ has come and is coming every day in the hearts and the minds that are given to him to worship and to worship him alone, spreading across the world and across time the reflection of God to earth and the reflection of earth to God, until the two become one and God's kingdom is done on earth as it is in heaven. This is worship, where the two become one. This is the restoration of the kingdom of God. And our worship here in church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, during the week when we meet together with people to reflect and think and tease it out and pray together, is the realignment of ourselves and those who are with us with everything that is in Christ, so that we know what we worship. We know what it means to be in the image of God in this turbulent, twisting, turning world in which we live. To know who it is that lives in us and what we're called to be and do in this world. Worship is born here, week by week, and in your homes, your meeting places, week by week. It's born here, but it lives day by day when you walk out the door and go to your home and your place of work and your place of volunteering and your place of play and your place of friendships. The image of Christ living in you, heaven and earth intersecting because you're there, joint heirs with him who is Emmanuel. St. Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 2, verse 5, 16, from there. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, or according to the flesh is the literal translation, the created matter. We don't regard anyone from that way. Even though we once knew Christ from that point of view, we know him no longer in that way. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation, bringing the two together until the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. All this is from God, who reconciled himself, us to himself through Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting that message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. And then you've just heard, haven't you, Paul writing to the church in Rome. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect.